too hard. He knows what he's up against. He's up against a cherubim fallen angel, an entourage of fallen angels and demons that are here to slit our throats. You got to have a militarized church. Look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And I'm going to show you the difference between what I'm saying and what religious people will try to do to you. 1 John chapter 2 verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all, that word all means what?
Everything.
Everything in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. He that does the will of God lives forever. Now that's in stark contrast with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The will of God is diametrically opposed to that which is self-gratifying. So you can already know that when you do the will of God, it's not going to gratify your flesh. Your own comfort zone will be impugned. It's not going to make you feel good to do the will of God. It doesn't feel good to fast. But it feels good when you get to Thanksgiving here in a few weeks and you got all that turkey and cranberry sauce and dressing and macaroni and cheese and green beans and you got potato salad and you got all kinds of other slop on your plate. You got about 75 dishes on your plate. And that even got to the potato pie, the cake, and that banana pudding and the bread pudding that you're going to eat later on when you watch the game. Food is an aphrodisiac. It's like a drug. You don't believe that? Go on a fast and watch how your body goes through withdrawal. Most of the time it's going through a withdrawal because you're not giving it sugar. You go through a sugar withdrawal. Your knees will start aching. You'll start getting headaches. Start feeling funny. I'm dizzy. I stood up. I got dizzy. I know because you're an addict. You're addicted to food. If the devil can't use food, he'll use nicotine. Notice how people stop smoking and start eating. You didn't get free from smoking. You just changed addictions. The devil will find a way to bind you. Jesus said you'll be overcome by what?
Surfeiting,
which is overeating. That's what's binding people. We got a fat country because people love to eat all the time. It's a place to eat every 2 feet. You'll leave here, and before you get to the corner, you'll pass by a Burger King, McDonald's, Taco Bell, and Kentucky Fried Chicken within a block. Yeah. And you stop it at every one of them. I'll get some fries from right here. Then I swing over here, get myself a Big Mac. Then get myself a Whopper and a Whopper Jr. Then slide over Kentucky Fried Chicken and get myself a two-piece. Then I head on home. Doggone, you eat? Yes, this is just my snack. This is my appetizer. I cook before I left home. I eat when I get home. People going crazy after food. Then you're watching yourself expand in the mirror and trying to figure out, I wonder why I'm getting so big. I think I got thyroid problems. Everybody got thyroid problems. You talk, everybody on earth got thyroid problems. You got an elbow problem. You're doing elbow lift, isn't it? From the plate to your mouth. That's your real problem. It's a warfare. You got to deny yourself in a warfare. You don't see any fat Marines. You're not going to see a fat Marine. Because they're running 5 miles every other day. They're out there in that gym. They're making these boys go through rigorous exercise to stay trim and ready for warfare. That's how you've got to be in this. God can't send you on a real evangelistic outreach as a fat person. We got to go to that mountaintop to reach that village. About 2 miles in, you. They're going to have to go to hell. Let them go to hell. They have to go to hell. I can't make it. Send them to hell. Damn them to hell for all I care. We got to send folk to hell because you weigh 380 pounds. Airline make you buy two seats. You know that they do that? They'll make you buy two seats in, on the airline. It's a $400 ticket. You got to pay $800 for the ticket. Because you so wide, you take up two seats. This is all real. I'm trying to give you the parameters of the real warfare. This is real. You don't just get like this. It's been something. It's something that's been done to you that you got to overcome. I mean, you laugh at it, but you got to overcome it. He's not going to make an exception for you from this word. We got to change. Man, stop laughing about your own demise. This is real. James 4:4. I mean, some things are funny, but some things are not. Because I get up there and I'm overcome by surfeiting, he's going to say, didn't I tell you you're going to be overcome by surfeiting? Didn't I tell you that? Yes, Lord. I read it, but what? That's when you start stuttering going on. But what? Didn't you read it? Yeah, but I figured, I didn't take it seriously. I just figured that, man, you better change while you got breath in your lungs. James 4:4, you adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You don't have to even think about it. Find somebody that's a friend of the world, you're looking at the enemy of God, according to the Bible. Now you got to understand what the world is. The world is not the earth. The world is a system that exists within the confines of the earth. The earth is a planet that we live on, but the world is a system within it. The world is defined by two different words in the Bible. The word world in the Greek has two different words that make up the word world. The first one is cosmos. We get words like cosmetology from it, cosmetics. It's about the fashions of the world. He said, don't love that. Don't let Kim Kardashian give you any advice, because she's from the world. Oprah is from the world. Don't take any advice from Oprah. She's an enemy of God. If you don't narrow your mind down to this, and you're offended by what I'm saying, you love the world. And you've exalted the world over God. He says, if you're a friend of the world, you are an enemy of God. Oprah tells you that there are other ways to go to heaven other than Jesus. I'm going to take her advice over the Bible because I love the world. You better get your mind narrowed down and stop being offended when people say something about the world, because the Bible says the devil is the god of this world. They worship the devil and don't even know it. They're under the inspiration of the devil and don't even know it. I can't say what I'm saying inspired by the world, because the world, by definition, will hate everything I'm saying. You got to get this thing in you. Two words define the word world. The other word is eon. Eon. Eon is referring to the time parameters. So if you break it down, he's talking about the time and space that governs existence. Time is eon. Cosmos is the fashion. So the space and the time we move around in is what God says not to love. Don't let anything make you engage the world and draw your affections over to it. Not Donald Trump, not Black Lives Matters, because all of that is a delusion created by the devil. It's a matrix to make you get caught up in his world. He just wants you to get engaged and then feel for it. He wants you to be black and not saved. He wants you to be white and not saved. He wants you to have some kind of a meaning appended to you outside of salvation. You got to be a person that's somehow attached to the world, and you let the world define you, and what defines you confines you to the world. That's why this thing, man, is a warfare for the person whose mind is seeking to get free from everything. You don't know how many things matter to you until God begins to show you how many things matter to you. It's a lot of stuff that matters to folk. They don't even know it matters to them until he puts his finger on it. And then your resistance to letting it go lets you know That's more important than God. That's ugly, man. That's ugly. When you really begin to pick people apart layer by layer, see, people are complicated. People are layered. You don't find a person on the surface. If I look at Alton right here, I don't know him on the surface. I don't know him because it's down in his heart. He could be down here hating somebody for all I know. I don't know what's down in his heart. But God, what does God do? He pulls back the layers, man. People are like onions. You got to peel an onion. Well, we got that layer. Okay, you're free. No, you be up there forever, man. People have layers of things in them that make their personalities like they are. You try to wonder why they looking like that, why they act like that, why they always bitter, why they always got something negative to say. It's something inside of them. The Bible says the root of bitterness can spring up, and a lot of people can be defiled from you because you're bitter inside. Somebody done wrong by a man back when she was 25 years old. Now she's 45. And she the one standing over a young girl. Don't you trust no man. You get your own bank account, you hear me? All of them make no good. They all dogs, you hear me? I'm your mama, I know what I'm talking about. They'll do you wrong, girl. They'll do you wrong. And have you. You walk around and got married and everything. Now your mama's voice ringing in your ear. Where you going, Billy? You seeing another woman? Now I was going out here to cut the grass. Oh, that woman that's doing them shorts. You trying to see her, ain't you? Your mama got you messed up in the head because of her bitterness. Many will be defiled. Yeah. They spend a lot of time feeding stuff into you that subconsciously has made you programmed to respond to environments a certain way. That's bad, man. You're a young girl been lusted after your own life, and all you do is solicit lust now because you've been programmed that way. Well, you know a man, all men, you know, they're going to lust. You know, that's just how a man is. No, it ain't. That's the dogs that you've been around. You can't define everybody by the nutcases you were around. Every individual is different, and everybody got to be taken for who they are as an individual. But see, if you let that programming take a hold on you, it'll change you and make you into this caricature of who you should be because you've been programmed to be a certain way. I didn't have a daddy. You know, most folk without a daddy, a man is foreign to them. Did you know that? Yeah. If you were raised without a daddy or a weak daddy, a man is foreign to you. I'm not talking about a male. I'm talking about a man. See, a lot of women can deal with a male because he's full of lust and he's just a punk. So they'll throw a little booty on him, you know. Boom. I got him right there. The booty. See, that's what they walk in. So they had never dealt with a man. They've been dealing with booty worshipers. And that's their definition of a man. So they got all those old yoga pants on and their breasts all in everybody's face walking around in Walmart looking crazy. Hey, that's crazy. Never met a man who not into all that old crazy junk, because all you've been walking with is a bunch of lust-filled dogs that's been lusting after you, and that's all you know. You feel strange around a real guy. It makes you feel weird, because all you've ever known is a bunch of lust-filled, no-good, 10-cent wimps that are just crawling around lusting after everything they see. You got to ask God to change the program in you. First of all, so you can become a normal woman again. Because, see, when you have subjected yourself to solicitation of lust from a guy, it makes you into a female dog in heat. Because all I can do is throw a little booty out there, and that's all I know. Them looking at my butt all the time, and that feels right. You're walking through the store. I know you're looking at my, look at him. Then you turn around real fast. Look, I knew you're checking my butt out. I knew that when I walked away. You can be transformed into anything down here with the devil feeding into your soul. That's why you got to get back to Jesus Christ. Let him remake your mind over. The Bible calls it the transformation of the mind in Romans 12:1. He says, I beseech thee therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Be not conformed to what? This stinking world. The cosmos, the eon. Don't be conformed to this world. But be ye transformed. Greek word, metamorpho, is the word for a butterfly that's changed from a caterpillar. A metamorphosis. Be ye metamorphosized by how? Renewing. The renewing of your mind. And when you have your mind renewed, you do what? You prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You got to be metamorphosized from the inside out. It's your mind that has to be reprogrammed. You act like you act because you think like you think. And when you think like you think, you'll become tribal and you'll draw other people that think like you to reinforce how you think. And now all y'all crazy. That's why people join things with people that are as messed up as they are. Everybody down here is tribal. You will join to that which is like you. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? You're going to draw to you what's like you. If you're a whore, you're going to draw lust-filled guys because you're a whore. Because you'll feel funny if a real guy that's a man comes to you not full of lust. That feels funny. I don't know nothing about him. Hey, you walk around him circumspect like, hey, how you doing? You a lady, a lust-filled dog, will not interact with you. Hey, Miss So-and-so, hey there. Just walk around you because they can't interact with you. But when they can come to you and tell you any old nasty thing and you just grinning and skinning about it because you are a whore, that's comfort zones that have been interacted with then. So you'll buy into anything they say and do to you because you've downgraded yourself to be a whore. It's bad when your own self-identity has been impugned and you have accepted what they said you are. You know the self-identity that somebody like Kim Kardashian has? Amber Rose, Nicki Minaj, Rihanna, Miley Cyrus, all these folk you looking at, Madonna. You know what they got to think about themselves? You know what Whitney Houston had to finally think about herself? They had to buy into the definition that the devil gave them. You think Beyonce feels good? Beyonce projects all that junk out there because of how bad she feels about herself. She got a bad self-identity because if she didn't, she wouldn't be on the stage with a thong on, twerking in your face. Think about what I'm saying. Solicitation of lust from the masses gives me self-worth. That's pitiful. That's pathetic, man. That's low life living to the nth degree. I mention these folks because all of them need prayer. I don't downgrade them. I don't condemn them. They need prayer. They're in bad shape. Yes. And the devil then piles millions of dollars on top of them to further impugn their development and arrest them. I got Kim Kardashian is a $140 million woman. And you can't name one thing she does. But the devil can use her because she was pretty to influence other girls. Because they want to look like her and she's pretty. I want to be pretty too. So I'm going to use her as an icon to contaminate all these little girls. That's all he's doing. He takes pretty girls to contaminate other girls who want to be them. Men want to see them and the women want to be them. And the devil has the perfect storm with a pretty girl. He always uses a pretty girl. He ain't going to use nothing ugly. Don't no fish take no bite out of something that's ugly. That worm looks good to that fish. Now the fish, he don't realize the worm got a hook in it. That's how people are. They'll bite on what looks good, but it got a hook in it. And there you are, caught by the devil and hung up. So you see now, don't love the world. Stay away from the world. But let me tell you what the world is not and what it is. Look over at Matthew chapter 11. Notice how I use the whole Bible now. You just skim through it now to explain things to it because the Bible is not written in linear fashion. You can't read the Bible from start to finish like a book, a history book or a geography book. The Bible is a revelation that the Holy Ghost has to reveal to you. So you got to get the story told as the Holy Ghost navigates you through the Bible. And that takes supernatural power from heaven. And the Holy Ghost doing what? Leading you. The Bible says he'll lead you into what? So you got to be led through the Bible, not just read it in linear fashion. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 12. Look at this. I'm going to show you now a distinction between the world and what it is and what it is not based on what man would make it into. Matthew 11 verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come, talking about John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you and you have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath the devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. So let me show you the difference between loving the world and the interactions of Jesus with the world. Jesus went amongst the wine bibbers and the sinners, and people was looking at him and say, man, he's with an adulterous woman. Remember the woman at the well? He's talking to that whore. And you walking up to Jesus, I saw you with that whore, Jesus. You're a dirty whoremonger. You're going to hell, Jesus. I saw you talking to that whore. You're damned. Hold it. Wait a minute. What was he telling the whore? I don't know. I saw him talking to the whore, though. That's all I need to know. See, that's why you can't let people subject you to what they think about you. You got to know this word and what the word is actually saying to you by inspiration. You got to have the revelation of the word. Now, if I'm speaking by inspiration, I'm revelating the word to you, not telling you letter and directives that you got to obey according to what I said. The true presentation of the gospel always makes you the arbiter of truth, and you decide whether or not you obey it or not. If you begin to do something to measure up to what I say, then you've missed it by 1,000 miles. So you can't change for people. It's got to be your thing. You got to evaluate what I say and say, now, is that true for me? And if it's true for me, I choose to change about it. If I'm telling you the truth, I would never deal with you based on whether or not you change or not. You're neutral to me. I could go out here in the lobby and talk to anybody that's a sinner, and they're all right with me. They ain't doing nothing to me. Because they don't sin against me. They sin against God. So why would you take everything personally unless what? You got to be God. If you take things personally, now you are God. And you're offended by somebody's sin as if they sin against you. Who died and made you God? That's the question. You see how a religious mind can get a hold of you? And you'll know you're right. That's what brings discord and people talking about folk into an environment. Because all the little gods have judged the other person. And they got to measure up to what? My standards. That ain't it, man. I preach a generic message and you decide. Everybody's all right with me. Because I don't have a heaven nor a hell to put them in. But I'm going to tell the truth as it's revealed to me. Now you got to decide whether or not it's true or not. See, that's off of me. I don't have nothing to do with it. I told you what I believe what was true, and you decide whether or not it is or not. But guess what? God has a built-in truth detector in everybody. You're going to know when you hit the truth. When the truth hits you, it's going to reverberate in you. Now you might ignore it, but you're going to know that wasn't the same thing right there. Now those other 35 people were lying, but that 36th person told the truth. That was the truth right there. You're going to know when you hear. That's how God has governed this thing, so that you got a conscience that you're going to be able to detect sincerity, truthfulness, etc. People get in the devil with it because they ignore the obvious. It's like a woman meeting a no good man, but she ignores the fact that he's no good. Because I'm so hurt and I want a man so bad. Although it's no good, I just overlook that and act like Billy is my man. Then your girlfriend tell you, I saw that bum coming out of the hotel with Sally. And then you hate your girlfriend. What you hate your girlfriend? She said, I just don't want to know. See, if I didn't know, you already knew internally. You know when a guy's no good already. But you got to act like you don't, because it's feeding some other need in you. You can walk into the movie with Billy pretending y'all a couple. He looking at every behind that walked by. You, what you looking at? I was looking at her shoe. They went, I'll get you a pair though. I was checking out her shoe. I was thinking about buying you a pair. You know, I didn't even see. She got a butt. I didn't even know she had one. Right, right. Right, right. You know the joke is no good, but I can't afford to admit it because I'm so rejected and hurt and want somebody so bad. I'm so thirsty. I gotta pretend he's not what he is. Every woman knows the guy she with for real, man. Ain't no deception with no woman because God gave him a sixth sense to pick it up. Women got almost the same anointing as the Holy Ghost. They got a perception about them. They can pick up little nuances other people can't see. That's why it's good to have a good wife, because she's going to see stuff you can't. I'll tell you, see, look out for that now. I know how I look, but I'm going to tell you what's really going on. And so you got to use that. Let your wife be like a sensory perceptor or something out here in front of you. Put your wife out front now. Let me know what's out front now. You ain't stupid. You stupid if you don't do that, man. I'm just telling you how it works. They got a sixth sense because of the weaker vessel. God gave them a way to defend themselves and avoid danger by knowing things through perception. That's embedded in them. If you become stupid and become a sinner, it's going to be just going to turn off. And you've been all kind of delusions because you don't let God show you what the real deal is. You better get back with God so you can see. Because you need spiritual eyes to see. So you see now, Jesus says that John the Baptist didn't eat nor drink. He had a devil. I came eating and drinking, and I'm hanging around with sinners. I can't win with you people. Now they call him a wine bibble. And what's a wine bibble? A drunk. So people tell you Jesus drank grape juice. How can you get drunk off of grape juice? They saw him drinking some wine and called him a drunk. That's like a guy needing to be saved. Old friend from high school called him, "Hey man, I'm going through some problems. I need to talk to you, bro. I know you got saved some years back and I need somebody to talk to." He said, "Meet me down here at the sports bar, man." I go down to the sports bar. I said, "Man, I get to the table. I already ordered a couple of brews, man. I got a Coors Light for you. Sit down, man." I'm sitting there drinking the Coors, be a little through the problem. Coors Light. Somebody walked by the window. I saw that joker down there drinking that Coors. They come up here in church. Testimony time. "I want to expose the bomb in the pulpit to you." "Price is a drunkard." I saw him with my own eyes. "He's a drunkard. A stinking drunkard. You hear me? All y'all get out of here. He's a drunkard to his soul. He damned to hell. I see you, you filthy drunkard." Hey, man. The guy got born again outside the sports bar on his knees, crying like a baby, broken in half by God. And I drank half a beer with the guy. I don't care. See, they're not after souls. They're around just to see you and what you're doing as a heretic hunter to spy out your liberty. The apostle says, "I become all things to all men that I might save some." That's what they were saying about Jesus. Jesus adapted to environments to save folks. Don't let people put you in a box, because God can use you in varied ways to do varied things if you're not religious. Why is it that the devil always has authority over me and I don't have authority over the devil? Because I'm trying to conform to what people think about me. People, man, you'd be amazed at the folk that contact me over Messenger and through emails and texts trying to tell me what I need to do. Now I always tell them, "Hey, bro, I don't answer to you." You see, you're proud. I said, "You don't answer to me. Ain't it funny how I ain't contacting you?" I'm not contacting you about what you're doing. He said, "Well, in my personal conviction, I believe." I said, "I respect that. I won't walk in what I do neither if I was you, because you don't believe it. Whatever's not of faith is sin." And you know what they'll do? They'll hate you more. That's the one on the phone trying to tell everybody he's a false prophet. He's lying. Because they're not saving people. They're just out there inspecting other people that are saving people. And you're not even in yourself. Don't become some crazy USDA approved fruit inspector. I'm trying to see if you saved. And I'm not even saved, trying to see if you are. That's the trick. You got to know the Lord for yourself. And let him lead and guide you as how he sees fit. My job is not to get you to be a prototype of myself or to turn out clones. My job is to get you in contact with Jesus so he can lead you. I'm nobody's Holy Ghost. See, when your mind gets locked up in concrete, you'll try to confine everybody to what you define them as. And if they don't measure up to your standards, then they're not saved. They're not a Christian. That's not what we're after here. We're here to get your mind yoked to God so he can lead you through life and you can be free. That's love. That's real love. See, the ability to go to hell is the love of God. If God tried to make you and control you and take you by the throat to make you go to heaven and live right, that's not even a righteous person. He must give you a free will to make choices. So we're not here to make clones and make you live up to standards and make you fit in and make you a club member. We're just here to get you yoked to Jesus Christ yourself, to get all the shackles of the devil expunged from your life so you can let God lead you through life and be free. It's the best deal in town, and church and religion won't do it. They'll make you an organizational member, conforming you to the organization you join. And if you don't fit into what they say, you're not fit for anything because you don't measure up to our standards. That's what gets a Jehovah Witness sitting out in front of a store with a stand of books beside them, trying to sit there hoping you'll say, "Oh, what's in that book rack?" Notice how Jehovah Witness don't say nothing to you when you come in the store. They just sit there. But they wait for you to come up and say, "What's these books about?" Then they go into the Jehovah Witness spiel. That's bondage, man. That's bondage. They're not trying to lead you to Christ. They're trying to lead you to become a Jehovah's Witness. See, we talk about a dunamis tabernacle, but there's nothing to join. There's no membership. There's no certification. That's just a building to work on you in, to send you on your merry way and do whatever you're going to do. Nobody even knows where you are. Nobody cares. There's nothing in the Bible telling you to come to church every Sunday. That's why Dunamis Tabernacle will be open 7 days a week. Because people work different shifts, different days. You ought to be able to go to church all the time and get edified, get encouraged, get some kind of word preached to you. What are we meeting in buildings on Sunday morning for, and we just limit it to that Sunday morning, Wednesday night? What is that? The Temple of Solomon stayed open all day. You can always come in and grab a hold of the horns of the altar and pray through, because it's always open. The incense was always billowing, which is a type of prayer going forth all the time. We got this limited minds where you build a $10 million building open Sunday morning and Wednesday night only, with a gate chained up 5 days a week. And you can't even go on the premises without getting shot by a security guard. Man, we in bad shape, man. But God has to do a new thing with a new kind of people that think a new way. It's a new and living way he's looking for. So don't let folks put you in a box. Don't let people bind you. Especially when they look at you from a distance. They don't know who you're leading to Christ and what you're doing here. And yet they make a judge. That's really a judgment about you. Trying to go down to the Pink Palace, the strip joint. God sitting down there with a couple of organic gospel books to give the two strippers she had been ministering to. I see her coming out in the strip joint. I come back to church. Y'all know Shonda stripping. I don't know if Damon know it. But I got the word. I saw her myself. I saw her sliding out that back door at the strip joint. The whore is stripping. You know, judge according to the seeing of the eyes or the hearing of the ear. The Bible says. You can see a lot of things and you don't know the details of it. You come to a judgment about it not knowing what's going on. We got neighbors here from our neighborhood. That's like me coming up. I saw Ursula coming out of Kenny and them house. And Kenny wife went home. Ursula seeing Kenny. I knew something was going on. I just didn't get all the elements of it, but I figured out now. They're having an affair. There's a doggone affair going on up in here. She was bringing back a dish that they left over a house, dropped off at the house. And see, everybody always said, man, why don't you mind your own business? Dog. If we can get the church folk to just mind their own business, go vertical, know the Lord, and do his will, we'll be home free. Because you won't even be conscious of other folks. You're too busy doing what the Lord called you to do, and you're not caught up in other folks. You can move through every environment and know everybody and be free if you just get out of folk business. The Bible calls it busybodies in other men's affairs. You see in 2 Timothy chapters 3 and 4, read this on your own time. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 4, it gives a good discourse on what we're talking about now. How in these last days, basically what 2 Timothy 3 and 4 is talking about is going to be all hell breaking loose like it is now. It says men will love their own selves in the last times, and it's going to be all kinds of stuff going on down here, and men are going to be led away. But look what happens in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at, 2 Timothy chapter 4. I just read one verse here, but read chapters 3 and 4 in your own time. Look what he says in chapter 4, verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That's happening right now. Mm-hmm. Folks will turn away from hearing the truth, but they'll go right to a fable and believe it. They won't hear the gospel, but they'll go to Roman Catholicism and pray to Mary. They turn away from the truth and go right to a fable. As a matter of fact, if you don't receive the truth, the only thing you'll have left is a fable. That's the matrix. The matrix always accommodates how you feel. It won't feel like it's doing anything wrong to you. It'll line up with your emotions. It'll make you feel accepted, make you feel good inside. The gospel won't do that because the gospel is digging into the gutter rot of your soul and expunging it out of your system. So you won't feel good under the gospel. It'll hurt. It's like, I mean, you can't get cancer out of you and make you feel good at the same time. Surgery don't feel good. We got to cut into you and cut out of you and give you time to heal up again. But if you find something that's going to be just feeling so good, so passive, so wonderful, you know, the boy tells you, every day is Friday. Have your best life now with a smile on his face. That's crazy. You know good and well every day is not Friday, and you know you're not having your best life now. Life is hard. That's reality, man. So the soft smile, the tender words of a false prophet always make you feel good. Avoid them like the plague. What are we headed toward? We're here at the end of the age. We're defending the faith because so many things are coming at us that are so deceptive. What's coming next? Look at Revelation 13. Remember now, read 2 Timothy chapter 3 and chapter 4 this evening in your own time to finish off what I'm talking about. You'll get the whole picture because this will come to life and bring it come to the light. Based on what we said today, 2 Timothy and chapter 3 and 4 will make perfect sense to you. Revelation 13, look at this. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and the feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. You know, if you look back at Daniel chapter 7, you'll see these same beasts in Daniel chapter 7. They are referring to world empires, Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Rome. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Remember the world again? The cosmos and the time and space arena. Everybody on this planet, plugged into the matrix, will follow the beast. It's going to happen by nature. See, it won't be effort exerted by the devil to make people follow him. He's going to lead them based on their nature. They'll love the world. He's the God of this world. Their love for the world will make them follow him. This thing, man, is taking place right now. All the calamities you see, all the Trump versus the media, liberals versus conservatives, Democrats, Republicans, that's all part of the matrix. It's a schematic the devil created. He brings unity out of discord. It's called the Hegelian dialectic, created by a German named Hegel. The Hegelian dialectic is you get conformity and unity out of discord. You create chaos, and then you do what? You solve the chaos. And see, people will be in such a frenzy from the chaos. They'll be so distraught. They'll be so just tired of it all. Anybody that can come and bring peace, they'll follow it. The Antichrist will be a false prince of peace for people in the world that want what? Peace where? On earth, in the world. So you get a United Nations and a global peace accord. Everybody wants peace. The man that delivers global peace will be the Antichrist. And folks will believe he's doing good. They'll believe God is moving because he's unifying the races. We've got harmony. No more racial disparities. No more racism. Everybody's coming together. So the devil begins to feed you on tolerance, diversity. If you don't agree with homosexuality, you're homophobic. See, he's trying to put you to sleep in the matrix. He doesn't want anybody to stand for faith. He doesn't want anybody to be a defender of the faith. Just stop all of that. I want peace on earth. I want peace in this world. Let it begin with me. Singing the song. Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. Now you're thinking, that's God. That's the devil. That fool is going to find a way to bring the world into peace. And they've sang it into your soul all your life. You don't remember the songs? This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Age of Aquarius. That's the Aquarian conspiracy. Where peace will guide the planet and love will steer the stars. That's the devil singing it into your soul. You know, Michael Jackson, can you feel it? Can you feel it? Can you feel it? It's all about peace, global peace. The Beatles were good at it. Imagine. Imagine. John Lennon. There's no peace. I mean, there's no wars. He says, there's no heaven above us, no hell below us. There's only love down here on this planet. We just love each other. A flower child. That's the devil. They're looking for who they call the one. You remember when Oprah introduced Obama? You must be the one. They're looking for that guy. Remember the Matrix? Who was this guy supposed to be? The one. What was his name? Neo, a just position of the word one. They're looking for the one. The Antichrist, who will be the satanic ambassador sent from hell to bring a false pseudo peace to this planet. And if you're not equipped through proper ministry to stand in this, you'll be swept away in it. Because you won't identify him. You won't even know who it is. The devil preps the world to follow the Antichrist through personality worship. Anywhere you see somebody faithful to a personality, a man or woman, you got the spirit of Antichrist. The Pope, T.D. Jakes, Creflo Dollar. I don't care who it is. It's personality worship. If you mention that personality, the people will be ready to kill you. Don't mention Beyonce to a Beyonce fanatic. Remember the root word for fan is fanatic. I'm a Beyonce fan. You're saying I'm a Beyonce fanatic. That's the rest of the word. So if you put your hand on Beyonce, they putting the gun and blowing your. Don't you talk about Beyonce? I kill you. Don't you talk about Queen B? I blow your brains. I say another word about her. you put your hand on her, I'll kill you. Kill you, show us, look at you. Don't all those guys with those bean pies and all that stuff on the corner, say something about Farrakhan. They'll beat you half to death with that bean pie and that suit in that town, that bow tie. It's the spirit of Antichrist. Iconic bondage. You get an icon, an idol, and you make a personality, a man, your God. And you would defend that man with every fiber in you. So as we defend the faith, they defend the personalities they worship. This is what's afoot down here now. This is headed somewhere. And it's right up on us now. You better get ready for departure because this is all breaking out now. It's happening. Look what's happening. He says, and I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. That word for power there is not dunamis, it's exousia, which is the word for authority. He gave the beast authority. The dragon is Satan, as defined in Revelation 12. He told you who the dragon was. And Satan gave power or authority to govern to the beast. He's the God of this world, so he can actually give the governance of the world to whomever he wants to give it to. Remember, Satan told Jesus verbatim, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms of the world. This is real. He's going to find a man who is absolutely evil, who will take the offer that Jesus refused. The real Christ wouldn't take the offer. The Antichrist will. We've been prepared for something, man, that a science fiction writer couldn't make up in 1,000 years. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? You see, you got a global ruler now, a despot that rules the world. Hitler was a historical prototype of the global beast. Hitler was able to turn a civilized nation into a nation full of madmen in a few years. From 1939 to the end of that whole breakout in 1945 or so, Hitler turned the Germans into animals. And what did he do? He had a constant drumbeat with him talking all day over loudspeakers. He just talked all day until they brainwashed him. But people don't understand, Hitler got his power from black magic. They went to sorcerers and witchcraft workers to get that magic. He was pumping divined up black magic on those folks. It was supernatural what he did. They worshiped the devil. They were Luciferians. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months, 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Now, you got to be prepared for this. You better stop believing on a pre-tribulation rapture.
That's right.
We're going to war against this moron. And you got to have power to stand in this, because he's given the ability to make war with the saints. It was given unto him to make war with the sanctified ones, the saints. And to what? That's in your Bible. That's in your Bible. And power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues, languages, and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faithfulness of the saints. Faith is really faithfulness. Remember that. And I beheld then another beast coming out of the earth, and it had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Now we have the individual known as the false prophet. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So he's going to turn the affections of the world toward this personality to worship the false beast, this false Christ, this Antichrist. So, man, this thing is going to be a religious endeavor. He's using the word worship. These are religious words. It's a changing of the heart away from Jesus to this false Jesus. I'm telling you, man, when you deal with church folk, it's something in them that hates Jesus Christ. They despise him. How do you know? You tell them the word of God and they'll hate it. You watch them, and I know what I'm talking about. I done it 1,000 times. You think they're a brother or sister in the Lord? You bring that word out and give exposition to that word, they hate it. I don't care what that Bible says. That's how you got lesbians pastoring churches now. Homosexuals pastoring churches. How do you think Eddie Long rose to power out there at New Birth? This thing real, man. Go to the cornerstone of the churches and look at the Masonic symbol stamped on the side of the church. Then I take vows to the Masons. The Masons worship the devil. How do I know that? You go in a Masonic lodge, you'll find that black and white checkerboard floor in every one of them. That's tribute to Baphomet, dualism. That's ancient witchcraft and sorcery. They'll have the Quran, the Bible, and the Torah in there, and the Talmud, all these religious books up in there. This thing here is vicious, man. It's a deadly schematic. All this stuff was birthed to control people. They want you to take a hidden secret vow and cross the burning sands to join yourself with the devil. People are going to take all these vows and they take all these allegiances. They go through all of these different ceremonies and all these things to join organizations that are done in the secret and in the dark. But those vows you make are incantations over your soul that are yoking you to organizations that are binding you to the devil's kingdom, and you don't know it. God will send people to warn you. The vows are what's binding you to the devil. Release yourself from the vows. The same way you incant yourself, you can recant yourself with your same mouth. What put it on you, you can take it off of you. Remember when Peter denied Jesus 3 times? And Jesus asked him 3 times, Peter, do you love me? Get him to do what? Recant what he had placed on himself. He denied himself and cursed himself 3 times. Jesus had him say, I love you 3 times to get it off of him. Yes. Man, you got to open your mouth in this. Right. You got to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart to be saved. And that's not a one-time confession. That's not a one-time believing. You got to keep confessing. You got to keep believing. Yes. This thing is real, man. This is the warfare of the saints. It's a word war. This is Word War 3. They always have some type of ritual to have you engaged in to make sure they got your soul locked up into hell. Gonna make sure of it, man. They're gonna do it every time. These rappers don't rise to preeminence because of their rapping skills. They rise to preeminence because they incanted themselves and were bent over death in the back getting sodomized to join this thing. Because we got to make sure you go through what?
Initiation.
What's the word initiation mean? First step. They got to initiate you into the covenant of witches. And then once they got you, they let you progress by way of what? Degrees. You always go up through steps or degrees, and then when you get to a revelatory step, Satan reveals himself to you. You get up to the 33rd degree Masons, and you find that the devil runs then. And you have on the Masonic ring that says you are married to Satan. That's what they don't tell you. They don't tell you the Baphomet is the image they really worship. They don't tell you the Jesuit priests in Roman Catholicism are the black magicians. Everybody ignorant of the devil's devices. When you get in this door and you have to engage these demons and you got to cast them out of folk, you find out what stronghold the devil has in the person when he throws them across the room. When they start talking out of that person's mouth back to you, the demons, when they get really engaged in a warfare with you, and they take the person over and the person is dismissed and the demon is standing in front of you. Now you find out the warfare is real. I don't talk theories. I'm telling you what I know because what I've done. I've seen it. This is real. They got to incant you and get you bound with your own mouth. because they're trying to put the spirit of Antichrist in you. When you start trying to take a step toward Christ, you'll get hung up and not even know what's hanging you up.